Welcome to the Redefining Recruitment Podcast, where we challenge the typical idea of what recruitment is all about and help cultivate a new type of HR thinker. The people we talk to are at the forefront of these thoughts and are delivering on the promise of new ways to engage future talent and leaders. Let's start with our hosts, the leaders and managers of one of the most innovative recruitment solution businesses in Central Europe, made up of Good Call, DataCruits ATS, and the Recruitment Academy.
So welcome once again to Redefining Recruitment. I'm here with Jose Kadletz and myself, Blake Whitman. We are here with Hanna Stamakova from L'Oréal. Hanna started her professional career in a French company. She's now in a French company, and in between, two German companies.
Right.
Kind of an interesting setup. Actually, Hanna and I know each other from our days in Synergy. Then you spent 6 years in Siemens, 6 years at T-Mobile, both in top-level leadership HR roles. And in 2017, she joined L'Oréal as HR director for Czech, Slovak, and Hungary. You're the mother of two and still find time to be an awesome leader and a parent, which in today's world is not so easy. Thank you very much and welcome to you, Hanna.
Thank you for inviting me.
Perfect. Welcome. I will kick this off with the very first question, obviously about coronavirus. Can you tell us more about how L'Oréal responded to the COVID situation?
Well, we were so lucky that we had some cases in the very beginning of the crisis. So we had to react very quickly to the situation. We had to send some people home to quarantine, which for everyone was new, unexpected. We were sending computers to people home. We were trying to do everything possible to protect the health of everyone. We were sending food to those who were in quarantine. We were really taking good care of people, I can say.
You were sending food to them?
Yes, we were sending packages via Rohlik.
Really?
Because we wanted, I mean, it was just a gesture to tell them that we really care. Being 14 days locked at home, it's not really easy.
It reminds me of the Korean government. They said the Korean government sent a package of like eggs, rice, and these basic food, groceries, and so on to all people in the country. Just to be home and
my mom used to send me food my first years here. She thought there was no food here, but that's a different story. We had on Rohlik Evakarchova a few weeks ago, also, yeah. So it looks like we're continuing.
They wouldn't probably survive without Rohlik. Thanks to Rohlik. Yeah. Anyway, this was what we did locally and globally. I'm very proud of what L'Oréal did, except the fact that we were trying to protect everyone and we were sending everyone home to home office. They kept jobs for everyone. They said that they would guarantee jobs at least till the end of June to everyone. We didn't decrease salaries to anyone. We were even paying our shop assistants, our beauty advisors, being on home office, giving them some special training and stuff. So we were really trying to keep all the stuff
together
and in place.
Very nice. Talk to us a little bit about how you were able to hire people remotely during those times.
Honestly, we didn't much hiring because we had a recruitment freeze during the crisis. We did some recruitments. We finished some of the recruitments. We did one hire, which was very unique, which was a lady who was previously working for L'Oréal in a different country, different company, and no one actually knew her from the past, and we hired her as a kind of middle to top management position, having a team, a virtual team at the time, leading the team for 3 months. And the funny thing about this all is that we never met her.
Okay.
We never met her during the recruitment process. We never met her afterwards. We'll probably never meet her in the future. But she was great. She was great. She had such a good feedback from all the team and the people she cooperated with that it was really amazing.
This to me is just a great success story. I know they all don't work out like that.
Right.
But it's still great to see that we really can work digitally, virtually, face-to-face contact. We've given webinars, and I've talked about it as well, that I think it's extremely important, but there are exceptions when you can meet great people who you actually never meet face-to-face. They can go on to run a team, manage a team,
right, yeah.
who like them, from what you explained, who like the manager and be very successful, and yet nobody has ever met the person face-to-face.
Yeah, I super. Think even like the mindset shift, imagine this, the technology is there, everything was there before, but for many companies, it was unbelievable to imagine such a situation that someone would hire, the company would hire someone without even seeing them. Suddenly it's possible.
Yeah, and here's where I'll bring it back to you, Hanna. Do you think a year ago, would you guys have ever done something like that? Hire somebody without meeting them face-to-face?
We would probably try to meet her.
Yeah.
By any means, because it, you know, it was easy before.
Sure.
It was
sure.
extremely difficult, you know, during the crisis, and it's even difficult now.
Mm.
But there are other things I wanted to mention, what our talent acquisition team did during the crisis, because they, what they actually did, we established a kind of internal job market where we ask our people, because there were some jobs, some positions that were like not really having so much work as before.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some positions or some jobs with extreme pressure and demands. So we actually ask our employees, do you need help? And on the other side, can you help the others?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked fantastically. We had so many people saying, yes, I can help. I have a capacity of, I don't know, 5-10 hours per week.
Mm.
And there were others who appreciated the help. So I was very surprised that it did work. So that was one thing. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that actually our talent acquisition team, they conducted assessment centers online, which is also, I think, kind of unique. They did it with the cooperation with the University of Economics
mm-hmm.
here in Prague. They did, I think, for the SimSems program.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, they said it was very strange
mm-hmm.
because you really need to see the people during the assessment centers.
Assessment
but
center,
at the end, they found a way and we have a new tool.
Approximately how many people on the
I think there's
center?
Usually like 20, 25 people.
Yeah. So like
normally,
a normal assessment center.
But I'm not sure how many there were this time.
Wow.
So impressive. It worked. So.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So on the on kind of switching the workload. So basically, in a way, almost I wouldn't call it upskilling just yet, but you were able to use, let's say, the talent and the abilities of certain people to do other jobs.
Exactly.
When
also it was actually kind of upskilling too,
mm-hmm.
because people were saying, okay, yeah, I want to do this. I've never done this before, this kind of analysis, data crunching, whatever.
Yep.
Mm.
But then it was explained to them. Of course, it was like little tasks, not really the whole job. It's not possible.
Yeah.
But they did appreciate that as a development opportunity.
Very cool.
Mm. Do you see some shift in terms of education, learning and development, how you manage training for your people and so on? Is there the similar thing you managed that you are able to hire people without actually seeing them? Is there some progression in terms of learning and development as well?
Of course. I would say it's even stronger than in recruitment
mm.
because L'Oréal is really careful about having, you know, many people together, and trainings are usually like, you know, more people together. So we switched to online forms. Actually, one of the KPIs of L'Oréal, the HR KPIs, is learning hours. So there's where we're trying to really give people as much as many opportunities online as possible. And we are, for example, doing the integration program. It's called FIT program online at the moment, a virtual one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it has to be shorter because no one can sit at the computer for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are many, many things done online at the moment.
Hmm. Maybe about this, because L'Oréal is, I would say, even for me as a man, famous for that it goes into the beauty tech industry, that
mm-hmm.
it's a lot of about tech. Can you explain, elaborate more about what it means? How technology maybe overall influence L'Oréal? And maybe then, especially, for example, even recruitment process, if you have something, maybe you have some kind of voice bot, maybe not in the Czech Republic, maybe just in the US, are you ever or something like that?
Mm-hmm. So yes, officially, we are describing ourselves as a beauty tech company.
Cool.
It's not just because we acquired companies that are in that kind of like artificial intelligence business in these areas, but also because we do try to integrate technologies into the beauty business.
Mm.
For example, we have this makeup virtual try-on.
Mm-hmm.
Can also try if you want.
Jose sometimes wears makeup for videos and stuff. He does. Do you use L'Oreal? Say yes.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay, don't show Hannah.
You have to say yes. this is one of the things. But then there is style my hair, of course, for the hairdressers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are applications and tools that can help to diagnose your skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, for example, My Skin Track UV, which would tell you what kind of products you should use to protect your skin on the sun.
Mm-hmm.
There's Spot Scan and other, many other things that are in the technology area, but help the business industry.
That's very cool. Who would have ever said, makeup companies would go into technology?
Yeah.
10-20 years ago.
And this is also something that would maybe attract more men into
Love. Yeah, it's a very good point. It's a very good point. Do you think any of that has been strategic to kind of turn it towards technology, diversity, even users, customers, as well as
employees? I think
employees?
It's not just that. It's the fact that, all the companies are going that direction. So
sure.
We cannot really stay behind.
Sure.
I think it's clear even from when you see some hiring employer branding videos and so on, and you can see there, some kind of tech mirrors.
Right, mm-hmm. It's exactly.
And so on. So you have the feeling, okay, there is something more about that.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not just some like superficial cosmetics company.
True. I remember, I don't know how long ago, it was 10 or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, one of the first banks said, we're not a financial institution, we're a technology company that does banking. I just would have never imagined that, a makeup company or beauty company would also potentially go that direction. But it just shows how much technology is influencing absolutely everything. And anything, by the way, from tech that you have been able to use in recruitment? Or an HR?
Well, there are some innovative ideas coming from Paris,
okay.
Of course, using chatbots, using artificial intelligence for pre-selection of candidates, and so on. We do not use these so far locally.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have that many. I mean, we don't have thousands of candidates. We have hundreds, maybe.
Yeah.
But maybe it's coming.
It's interesting that companies from a totally different sector, for example, McDonald's, they actually acquired a company doing voice bots to
mm-hmm.
implement it. So, for example, in the US, when you have the Amazon Alexa or you have a Google Home device where it's a device you can have a conversation with,
yeah.
I usually say when I explain to people, what is it? Is it like when you can Google something on Google, you can ask this thing to Google it for you,
yeah.
plus some other things.
Yeah.
So you can apply for a job like that, just saying, hey Google, or okay Google, I want to work at the McDonald's. And you can go through that process. But it's interesting that actually McDonald's acquired this company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means that they say, okay, this is our priority. This is what we do. This is what we want to implement.
Sure.
Unfortunately, a lot of these technologies are not so common in the local markets because it's really dependent on English at the beginning.
Yeah.
But Google and Apple and so on are slowly coming with local languages as well. So I think sooner or later... And I would say now, everything what is digital, virtual, online, is now funded and so on. So the growth is even much higher than before. So the evolution curve of these technologies will be much, much higher.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about something that's, I think, close to you, your heart and your company, and that's women. Most people would say that L'Oreal is especially from an employee perspective, that it's young women. Which I'm sure that the vast majority is, or let's say women in general, females. But give us some stats on that and tell us what you're trying to do. How important is diversity within L'Oréal? Mm,
sure. Well, I should mention that we women are young for a very long time.
Of course, of course. So basically until you die.
So in that, yeah. If that is the definition, then yes, we have a majority of young women. But the average age is around 35.
Here, globally?
Locally. Okay. And yes, we do have 75 of women, mm-hmm. Women working for our hub, which means like Czech Republic, Slovak Republic, and Hungary. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do not have many difficulties to hire women.
Yeah.
And we are trying to hire more men. That is also true. Because I don't think I need to explain why diversity is important in a workplace.
But what do you do? What are you doing to try and bring on? Because I talked to so many companies, by the way, as I'm sure you know, so many companies that I know exactly what they do to hire women.
Okay.
But I'd love to hear what L'Oréal does to try and hire men.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've tried everything possible and impossible.
Okay. Sponsoring football teams or something?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
It's a good
bit
idea.
More, softer, maybe. Well, starting from doing the campaigns, the recruitment campaigns differently, mm-hmm. focusing more on, let's say, career,
yeah.
Development opportunities, not so much on products,
yeah.
saying what we already discussed, we are a beauty company,
yeah.
Showing that actually, you know, some of the candidates are really surprised that we don't produce lipsticks in the offices.
Uh-huh.
They come to our office and they're like, wow, we are like a normal office. Like, of course, we are like a normal office. So
cool.
This is, so the campaigns, the way we mm-hmm. try to present the company, then of course we do try to put on short list of candidates, we are trying to put at least one man if it's possible.
Yep.
Then we just started to go to technical universities
mm-hmm.
to present ourselves also there.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a Future Report, to a conference festival,
yep.
Last year to present our innovations and so on. And we are also trying in our short employee branding videos to show men
yeah.
working for finance, working in marketing, sales, other functions. Like men do work for us.
Yeah.
It's a really normal company.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if it is this stigma from the past that we are only like cosmetics, which is
yeah.
not just like that.
Yeah. Well, and you have lots of brands, right?
We have lots of brands.
Yeah.
We have 36
yeah.
brands.
This is the thing. I just googled
yeah.
my makeup, and it's L'Oréal, but it's one of the sub brands.
Uh-huh.
There are so
yeah,
many
yeah,
sub brands.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're gonna stay for the rest of the podcast? Yeah.
I might. Well, yes. This is what people don't know is that, for example, if you mention Giorgio Armani
mm-hmm.
in front
yeah.
of men, they react.
Sure.
If you mention L'Oréal Paris, then they say, okay, that's like
mm-hmm.
cosmetics for women.
Sure.
Which is also not completely true, but
mm-hmm.
so this is
mm-hmm.
this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you doing, by the way, on the stats? I mean, is it going up or down?
It's slightly going up.
Okay.
Slightly, really.
Okay.
But yeah, I for example, I managed to hire two men to HR
Super.
Team.
Wow, that's good
and
for any
they're
company.
They're great, both of them. And
Super.
And you know, the atmosphere has changed. We had fun before.
Yeah.
We have still fun in the team, but it's different fun, and it works perfectly. So I'm really glad.
Diversity is good.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe a question for me. You worked at T-Mobile before,
right?
Can you see, because for example, as we just now mentioned, L'Oréal, a lot of brands, different kind of company, T-Mobile, different segment. Can you see difference in terms of recruitment, employee engagement, and these kind of things? What's the, I would say, major difference between those two?
Well, they're both great companies. I really enjoyed working for T-Mobile. I do love my work in L'Oréal. In both companies, there were very committed people that would die for the company.
Mm.
I think that the biggest difference is that as maybe one of the things, it's much easier to identify with the products and brands in L'Oréal
mm.
because it's something, you know, tangible.
Yep.
Yeah.
While in T-Mobile, for some people, it was not even understandable what kind of like the whole portfolio of services we were offering, or they were offering. And still, I think in L'Oréal, maybe it's because it's a small company here, there's much more people dedicated or engaged, fully engaged. They would like really die for the company. While in T-Mobile, it was more like this gulp curve with the distribution of like people very committed, people like being okay, and people who were disengaged. So I can say I see more people, more engaged people here in L'Oréal.
Which I guess, when you have a larger company, more corporate, maybe then it's more typical. I would say you'd see that in most larger companies here.
And I think there's one more thing to this, which is the freedom we give to people in L'Oréal. As you can imagine, and you mentioned it before, in German companies, there's of course many processes. And the freedom is not so big.
Usually,
maybe
slightly more control.
And here, I mean, people working in L'Oréal, what they appreciate, even when we do exit interviews with people who are leaving, what they appreciate the most is the space, the freedom they had in the decision making, in everything they actually did. And this is the best education you can have, learning, by doing mistakes.
Sure, and also doing the freedom. We've seen in lots of stuff we've done with different companies that high employee engagement usually comes from getting the trust from their management to be empowered,
to do
what they at least think they can do. Sometimes they can't, but there's only, as you just mentioned, there's only one way to find out. Like, go try. Test it. Just don't ruin the company. Don't get us into any PR trouble, but go try it. Try it out. It's a great way.
Yeah, this is maybe also the reason why, for some of you, when we are going to companies with the topic personal branding. So companies, even for corporations, they hire us to come there, and they are basically solving the issue, how should we or could we use the potential of our people to even more promote our brand, have more sales, and let's say also in terms of recruitment, hire more people, better people, and so on. Which, if maybe you also imagine like even back days, but five years ago, when you would mention, let's work on the personal brand of your employees, all the managers would be like, are you crazy? We will create LinkedIn profiles for our people, and other people, other companies will steal them.
Yeah. I can confirm that. This is one of the things that our talent acquisition team did in the past days. Is an ambassador, employee ambassador program, concentrating on social media. So actually, helping us with the employer branding via their, social profiles. So
and they're doing it themselves.
They either help us with bigger events, or they do it themselves. Yeah. They post things.
I think
.
2 years ago I was training at L'Oréal. I think maybe it was this group of people, like younger people, and they managed. And it was personal branding already back then, 2 years ago at L'Oréal.
We teach people how to create their LinkedIn profiles, not because we want them to leave the company, because they represent the company.
Exactly. And if their profiles, I did training for social bakers a year ago. If those profiles look good, especially if they're kind of aligned as well, it looks even better. The moment somebody comes into contact with them, it starts giving this great personal brand. And if they work for your company, people say, L'Oréal person. Wow, nice profile. Super picture. Oh, all that. When it's all unified and looks great, you can't go wrong. I want to ask about, I was reading about this UNESCO program, which I didn't know about before. And we've done a decent amount of things with women in business. We do it with Vodafone. But you, in L'Oréal, you have this program with UNESCO to help women in science, as I understand.
Right. It's called For Women in Science. Right.
Tell us about it. I mean, how successful is it?
Well, it's known. It's very successful from our point of view. Mm-hmm. It's a program which is quite old. It's been there for 22 years already.
Mm-hmm.
And the aim is to support women scientists in their careers. Mm-hmm. So it's also running here locally. Mm-hmm. Maybe just two facts, there's only 29% of scientists, so women scientists, globally, and only 2%, or maybe 3%, are awarded the Nobel Prize out of the all the awards. Yeah. So this is something we are trying to change because we believe that science needs women,
definitely,
as we need men in the Czech Republic.
Definitely.
And we also award locally 3 women per year. There's a jury selecting from the from a group of scientists who apply, presenting their researchers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I wanted to ask more about when it comes to recruitment nowadays. What are you still trying to do? Because we're now in September. So what are you still trying to do with recruitment that are sort of leftovers from total lockdown? Are you guys still doing virtual everything? You're still hiring digitally? I guess you still have some sort of a recruitment freeze, but tell us what you're still using and what you're not using anymore from 6 months ago.
Luckily, we do not have a recruitment freeze any longer, but we give a choice to candidates, actually.
Okay.
So we ask them if they want to come for an interview. If they want, they would come. If they want to do it online, no problem. And also we hire for 3 countries. We have a hiring person who is hiring in Hungary too. But we do many things online still.
Okay.
And
okay.
That's basically it.
And you plan on doing that for a while longer?
Well, I think we'll stay.
Or forever?
We'll stick to this scheme. COVID will not disappear from one day to the other. But I think it's a good way to hire people online because it's more flexible, it's agile.
Yeah.
So.
You and I worked together in Synergy many years ago. I'm in touch with Philippe from time to time as well. Actually, I was looking at some of our class, if I call it, from 2002, 2003, 2004.
I was still in the kindergarten at the time.
of course.
Was it still in Prague 8, Karlín?
No, it was
Manjini, Prague 7, because we got flooded.
Right, yeah. We were working from an apartment.
We were working from an apartment. Actually, many of us have gone on to do awesome things. It's pretty cool.
It was those were good years.
They were very good years.
Good people.
What do you take from those times into your career now? Anything specific that you think about or remember from?
Especially the network we had and we still have
is
great because as you said, people made significant careers. People that we met at the time. And of course, some of the things in the recruitment business have changed. Some of the things haven't changed a bit, like you and me, we are still the same, of course. Something has changed dramatically. We didn't have LinkedIn at the time, which is like, the best tool for recruitment we have at the moment. So it was a great experience, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
I was actually training 6 years ago, I think it is, Synergie for LinkedIn recruitment in Karlín.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
Cool.
Yeah.
Last questions for me, and then I'll let Jose take it home. Home office is tough for lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 2 kids at home. I know how it is. Even when I take a day of home office from here or there, I actually try to make sure that my kids are not there, ideally, but it's not always possible. How do you do it? How do you handle this crazy world?
Me personally.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, right.
Versus L'Oréal in the company, and how is the flexibility that you guys offer people?
So starting with the flexibility we offer. We, of course, offered everyone to work from home office. Everyone was working from home office during the crisis. And then afterwards, we said if anyone is afraid to come to work, he can still work from home. We increased the days of home office from 1 to 3 currently. So people can decide when they will come to and if they have someone, that they have to take care of. If they are afraid, as I said, they can still work from home. We allow that. So that's for a company. So we are really trying to understand, to listen to everyone. of course, we have troubles when people travel from country to country. Hungary just closed, and we have people who work for, all three countries.
Just this morning, they announced that that Babiš and Orbán agreed that they don't have to do quarantine, just have a negative test every time, though.
But that's a kind of trouble in Hungary, because you are either refused to have the test done, or you wait for 4 or 5 days, which is not really easy.
2 day business.
So this is our daily business to solve these issues. Okay. And me personally, honestly, it was hell from the very beginning, because for HR it was the hardest time ever. Talking to those in the quarantine, talking to those who were tested positive, when they will be able to go back to life. Everything has changed from one moment to the other, and we were especially taking care of the communication, that everyone has all the information needed, so we communicated really regularly and very often. So having two kids at home, one refusing to learn anything, because he was saying, it's my matter, it's not yours, so don't tell me what to do. And my daughter being online for the first time, and saying, "Mom, my internet is not working." So it was very, very difficult, like the first month especially. And then we kind of found a way, together with my colleagues from the management team and with the others from the crisis team that we established. So then we kind of got used to the new way of working. And now I really appreciate to go to the office. But at the same time, I appreciate to have a home office some days. So I think it helped us. It moved us towards more flexibility.
It's a nice paradox. Like, originally parents keeping kids away from computers and so on, and now you push them go to school, go to computer.
Go get on your computer. The idea that my kids would hear me saying that, I would have never believed it. But 6 months ago, go get on your computer. I had the same thing. My youngest, school on a computer, using a computer for anything but watching, crazy YouTube videos. It was nuts.
So the very final questions we ask all of our guests: what do you do in recruitment that is unique?
All right. There are many things that we are proud of. I don't think they are that unique, that other companies don't do them or something like that. I just do them a bit better, I think they are unique as a company, You should come to see us. We have many clever people, very committed people. We do have great support from Paris. And there is a huge talent acquisition community working together, so the best practice sharing is enormous. They are very innovative, so they are coming with new ideas. For example, lately we have we will establish an e-internship program, so interns, students working spending their internship mostly online, remotely. Just one of the examples. And maybe what I'm really proud of is the management training program, which is not so different from other company, what other companies have. But I think we are very successful in providing them with a further career. So actually all of them, most of them, stay with us, and they are very successful afterwards. So I think we are good in recruiting them, the management trainees, and keeping them and offering them good opportunities to stay with us.
Perfect. I have maybe one note from our business side. Just yesterday I published a new book, COVID Proof Virtual Trainer. So it's a complete playbook when you want to do online consultancy, when you want to do micro learning, on the job learning, or also education in virtual reality or augmented reality. This is the playbook, this is the book you can use. It's absolutely for free when you get it from our website. It's on Amazon.com as well.
Perfect. That's a great
extremely
tip.
Relevant in today's world.
Yeah.
Extremely relevant.
Thanks for the tip.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Anna. Thanks for coming in. Very interesting.
The Redefining Recruitment Podcast was brought to you by the people who believe in waking up the recruitment industry and are living that life each day at DataCrude ATS, Recruitment Academy, and the recruitment and talent sourcing powerhouse, Good Call.